So today's episode is episode 27. Still young in this game. You know, it's funny, me and Digger were talking about this
the other day, yeah.
And I'm not as consistent as I need to be or as I feel I should be.
You're not.
But you know,
you're not.
What was it? Six episodes this year?
You did six episodes this year.
So you know,
ask how many episodes I did this year.
Hey, you know, yeah, that's a 2021 goal. You know what I'm saying? At least 12. That way we can at least say once a month, you know, if nothing else.
Once a month. Yeah, I did 47 episodes, about to be 48 episodes this year.
Look at that. See, he's doubling up. Wait, no. He's quadrupling.
Yeah. I figured if I do 52 episodes that equivalents to one episode a week, I'm good.
Yeah, facts. Facts. You know, I need to get there. But without further ado. Jack's Views. I'm your host with the most, Nemo Host, aka Ringo Mandingo, aka Swaggy J, aka Radical Jack. Do the damn thing, talk shit or die trying. We got a magical guest in the building. Magical sounds weird. Pause. But you know, long friend of mine, Mr. Digger Jones.
Yeah.
You already know what it is, man. Today we're talking about what men are looking for in women, you know what I'm saying? Or at least what two men are looking for in women. You know, I mean, we could speak for ourselves and maybe our friends, our group, our peers.
I can't speak for all men.
Yeah. Can't do the one all be all thing, but you know, try to answer some questions here. Well, I mean, there really are no questions, but you know, just overall.
Make some general statements.
Yeah. There we go. Suggestive statements. Try to, you know, get you ladies some insight, you know, to thinking like a man. So the reason that I actually wanted to have this discussion was because of this video I seen on the internet.
Wait. Is it that video where that man was scolding that woman saying that?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Okay. All right, go on.
Yes, that is exactly what I was talking about.
Okay.
So I was actually going to play the video. You know what I'm saying?
No, that video's like 7 minutes and change long. Don't play the video. Just give them a general idea. I'm saying, though.
Well, the dude was talking to the lady about, the video that we get is only a snippet. Apparently, it's like a two-hour long conversation that they had. But
right, I saw that.
The part that we saw was her basically, I guess she had said that she's looking for a man with six figures to match hers, and she wants him to, I guess she had certain looks and stuff that she was looking for. The part that I saw, we didn't get to see that. We just saw what he said to her. And right, basically what he asked her was, you know, what would you rate yourself? How much do you weigh? How tall are you? And then he kind of just let off on her and just told her, you know, your expectations are too high for who you are.
Can I tell a funny story that regards that?
Go ahead.
So I remember, don't judge me for this. This is about maybe 10, 15 years ago. I was watching an episode of Oprah on one of my off days. Don't judge me. And Oprah was just like, what I want you to do is I want you to create your perfect partner on paper and write, you know, what you want them to have, you know, what kind of, you know, goals you want them to have, what kind of income you want them to have. After I wrote this shit on the paper, dog, I realized that woman was too good for me. Like, you know what I mean?
Wait. You know what I mean? He like, said she too good for me.
Like, she'd rock by me like, get away from me, raggedy nigga. I don't need no raggedy niggas in my life. You know what I mean?
So what did you write down?
Like I said, this is about 10, 15 years ago. My mind frame is so different now, but I wanted a woman who, you know, like made anywhere between 50 to 60 a year, wanted her to look good, wanted her, you know, her body and physique to look right, wanted her to work out and exercise and all that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I had certain ways I wanted her to look and, you know, certain cup sizes and stuff like that. After a while, you know, like 15 years later, I'm noticing all the things I looked for were trivial. All the things I look for are things that fade. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't really looking for substance. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but, you know, like, just to think about where I was 15 years ago when it came to relationships to now is a total 180.
I believe that. I mean, you know, 15 years, if you still thought the same way, then either you'd be really strong-minded or there was no growth. I don't know. You know, I guess it depends on how people look at it, but, you know.
Right.
I feel like what I wanted 10 years ago is definitely not what I'm looking for now, you know. So
exactly.
Like, at all. You know, I used to just be like, as long as she's bad, that's all that matters.
Right.
You know?
And that's where my mind was.
And it's like, dude, like, you don't have to, like, it's weird because you think about it, like, you can't have conversations with a brick wall, you know, and a lot of these girls, they'll be pretty and all this other stuff, but Jesus. And I mean, I'm not saying, like, it's just girls. Obviously, there's dumb people all around, but, you know, in contrast to our conversation.
There was no substance on what I was looking for at all. And I feel bad about that. But the thing about it is, you know, like, 15 years ago, I'm 38 now, that would make me 23, right? At 23 years old, I still had the future in front of me. I just wanted to have fun in life, you know what I mean? But now that I'm 38, you just look for more shit. You just look for, you know, a companion, a partner, somebody to talk to, somebody that's going to motivate you, and, you know, amongst other things. So, hold on, my music's not too loud, is it?
Nah, I don't hear that at all.
Okay, good.
No, yeah. But nah, I mean, the motivating part is very, very important. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I don't know how to dig into this. I was thinking about doing, like, you know, because, you know, there's like stages of dating, right? So I was thinking, so we could do the stages. There's only four, so it's not like something crazy. But we could do the four stages of dating and then, you know, break down each one, or we could just go off the top of what you look for. I don't know.
Let me ask you a question since we're on the subject. What do you feel is the most important question to ask on a first date?
Ooh. On a first date.
I'm gonna test you on your own show.
On a first date.
Right. But you said, why are you single? Why is that important to you?
Because I think that question is heavy. I think it's loaded. You know, like, it could be a lot.
It is a loaded question.
It could be a lot. You know, why are you single? Well, I don't know. Or because I choose to be, or because I just got out of a relationship. Maybe I'm on a rebound. Maybe I'm, you know, I might be trying to have fun, you know? So it's, why are you single? You know, like, are you single because you're happy here? Or, you know, do you feel like, I need to find somebody to fill a hole? You know, so it's like metaphorical hole. But
right. No, you know. No, trust me. I was there. I'm not certain about the rest of your audience.
But yeah, man. What do you feel is the most important question?
I always say two questions are the most important questions. My favorite question to ask is, in 5 years, where do you see yourself?
Okay.
that way you can get your mind frame on where her goals are at, right? My second most important question is, what do you expect to get out of this? And that right there, that puts a lot of pressure on women, you know, like, because some women just want to go out to eat. Some got you in their phone as free meal.
Yeah.
Some women just want companionship or friendship, you know what I mean? Some women are looking for a stepfather, you know what I mean? So it's just one of those things that you have to ask yourself, you know, what's going on? Where's your head at throughout all this? I want to know early on, so that way I know what to expect for myself.
Okay, that makes sense. Does
that make sense?
Now the thing is, though, you know, also on the first date, you have to remember that you're meeting a character. At least in my eyes, yeah. I feel like I'm meeting a character. Facade. Because
now, yeah. I wouldn't even say a character, you're meeting a facade.
But no, the facade, definitely, because I mean, honestly, when you meet somebody for the first time, you're your absolute best, at least at the moment, at the time. You're the best version of yourself that you can be for that day. You know, you might have been
somewhat. And
yeah.
I agree to disagree. Because right now, I always say when you go on the first date, you're putty. Because you're trying to see if you can conform and mold to what this person wants.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because, like, at first, don't get it twisted. Everybody's attracted to looks first. And if you say you're not, you're a liar.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because I'm certain there have been ugly women who invited you out to coffee, and you're just like, nah, I'm good. And ladies out there listening, I'm certain there's ugly dudes who invited you to dinner, and you're just like, nah, I'm busy. I got to neuter my cat or some shit. You know what I mean? But go on. I'm sorry. I'm sitting there injected.
Keep going.
No, because I feel like I'm taking a lead like I do on my own podcast. I apologize.
Oh, nah, man. This is a conversation, man. Conversations go back and forth, you know? If you got gotcha. Something to say, say it. So, but yeah, with the whole facade, you know, you are putty. You're right, because you're trying to see. I guess it's kind of like I'm looking at her, trying to figure out. Okay, it's a get to know you situation. So you know where do I fit in on your scale of availability? You know,
right?
Like, and then on top of that, it's like, okay, what's your 5-year question? That's a great question, because it's like, okay, well, how long do I expect this? You know, expect this to go. And then it's also where you're at in life. You know, a lot of the times, you know, the older we get, we like to say, I'm only dating to marry. You know, a lot of people like to throw that out there. I'm only dating to marry, because if I'm not dating you to marry you, then I'm wasting time from jump. But I personally feel like, you know, I mean, I feel like a lot of people say it, but only probably like 30% of them actually mean it. Most of us are dating just for the moment, for the time, you know, just here for a good time, and then I'm a bounce. But the ones that are dating for quote unquote, you know, marriage or a lifetime companionship, that I feel like goes more with the 5-year deal. Because if in 5 years you don't see yourself as anything in the realm of what I'm trying to do, then I already know. Cool. Thanks for the red flag. It was nice to meet you.
And that's the most important part of that question, is because let me see where I fit in your life, or where I could possibly fit in your life. That's the way I look at it.
Facts. Facts. Now, mentalhelp.net, they say there's 4 stages of dating.
I'm listening.
You got your stage 1, which is your initial meeting and attraction. Stage 2 is curiosity, interest, and infatuation. Stage 3... they put in quotes, enlightenment, and becoming a couple. And then stage 4 is commitment or engagement.
I say that there are 3, because 1 and 2 are almost the same. They all roll into the same category to me.
1 and 2, initial meeting, attraction, and then curiosity, interest. Yeah, 1 and 2 can be the same. I think that stage 1, to me, like it says, dating relationships have to start somewhere. The initial meeting may take place over the internet, through friends, in church, at a social group, or party bars, you know, a myriad of different things. Different arenas for meetings allow for different opportunities to get to know each other, see if there's enough curiosity or interest, right? So that stage one, technically, when I read that, it's more of the first date and that's it. So you're right. Stage one and two basically are the same thing because I guess they break it down as stage one because if you go on a first date and it's bad, then there is nothing else.
But still, read what stage two is.
So stage two is the curiosity interest, right? So during the second stage, attraction and infatuation are most pronounced. Attraction often involves the physical attributes of a partner and includes things like outward appearance, body type, interest, personality traits. At this stage, the attraction may not be too deep. There we go. So he's talking to the maintenance man, but I'll finish this off. Differences are noticed or are dismissed, and thoughts like not a big deal or she will change. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that you start putting in your head.
My bad, dog.
Oh, no. I was just reading off the ending of that paragraph.
No, but
what
I was saying about part one and two, because part two says, you know, the whole curiosity, the interest, and so on and so on. That right there all comes with the initial attraction.
True.
So on and so on. And I would say that's part 1A and part 1B. Because just like even meeting friends, like if we saw each other in a CD store and I'm picking up a Kendrick Lamar album and you're picking up a Drake album, right? I'm going to be semi-curious of why'd you pick up Drake as opposed to everything else.
Yeah.
And it might lead to a conversation.
That's true. You know, especially, if you have that conversation, especially like in 2013, doing that would be a real conversation, you know? Because it's like, right. Well, what made you pick the Drake album over the Kendrick album? Or was it 2012? Whatever year that was. But yeah.
It was some year. But you get what I'm saying though, right?
Yeah.
So all that falls into the same category. You really can't subcategory that because it's all the same thing.
No, that definitely makes sense. That makes sense. And then they also say this stage lasts 3 to 4 months, depending on the individual's maturity, experience, all that kind of stuff.
I don't think so, because I've seen people get married in that time. Just meet and get married within a few months.
Yo, you know what? That to me, that's something I personally can never do.
Well, I understand that. I understand. You got to understand. Some people do that.
Yeah. No, facts. And some people do that and literally have great marriages forever, you know?
And stay together forever.
Yeah. And you can't, because you can't put a time limit on love. You know, you can't.
Exactly. You know,
there's no such thing. I can meet you tomorrow, and in a week, it's like, yo, this is it. And everybody else is looking at you like, what? And you just look, this is it.
When it comes to that, I always say when it comes to love, sometimes all it takes is one conversation.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, let's just say you got your life together, right? Everything's good. You know, you got a good job. Good income, good house, good car, whatever, not right?
Right.
But all you're missing is that one last piece of your puzzle, whether it be a conversational aspect, whether it be love in general, so on and so on. I always say a conversation is the key to unlock so many doors. So you're having a conversation with this girl right here, and all of a sudden, it's like she's saying all the right things. You have just broke Da Vinci's code. Like, one thing that you always wanted is somebody who loves to listen to podcasts, go out on Sundays to do grocery shopping, so on and so on and so on. That might not have worked for me. But when you hear this conversation from this female, you're just like, yo, this is everything that I've been looking for years. Like I said, sometimes all it takes is one conversation.
This is true. This is very true.
Or one action. I've had a friend tell a story. I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story. But, you know, a good friend that both of us know. Like, he got to a point where he was just divorcing from his ex-wife, right? He had this friend that he talked to, but this girl that he always wanted to be with, right?
Right.
So when he got a chance to hang out with the girl he always wanted to be with, they were at a hotel room. And the girl who the other girl he was talking to called on the phone. And the one he always wanted to be with said, you know, answer the phone. So he answers the phone and talks to this girl, you know, hey, how you doing, blah, 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 blah. And while he did that, the one he always wanted to be with took her head and put it on his lap and, you know, had him rubber and everything. And he, at that point, knew, yo, this is who I want to be with. So he told the girl on the phone, yeah, this is probably going to be the last time we talk to each other. And that was the last time he talked to her. And he ended up marrying, you know, his now wife.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you know the guy is Rajan. So when, okay. I heard Rajan tell that story, everything made sense because it wasn't a conversation that he had. It was an action of hers that unlocked everything that he wanted.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, like me and my ex-wife, we're cool, right? We have a cordial relationship now. Notice I say now. But what made me actually pick her out of everybody that I had was almost a similar situation. I was sitting there at Applebee's, you know, like just eating, and I couldn't pay for my ticket altogether, right? And this was our like third or fourth date, right?
Right.
I couldn't pay for the meal, and I'm just like, all right, well, let me make a phone call to my brother, so on and so on, and he's just going to come up here and give me the money. She says, why would you have him do that instead of have me pay? Because the way I was raised was, you know, my dad did everything for my mother. Everything. When it came out to food, dinner, and this, that, and the third, that was dad right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it came down to the bills, that was dad right there. So the fact that she sat there and paid for the meal, and I felt like ass afterward. I felt terrible. And she says, look, I'm not with you for the things that you can do for me. I'm with you for the things that we can do together. After that, it was just like a wrap. So I understood where he was coming from with that.
That's dope.
And sometimes you just need that one person who is your last puzzle piece, as I said earlier.
No, you're 100% correct. I mean, that's exactly how I felt. You know, when I got married, I think for me personally, when I got married, you know, I was mainly just going off emotion, you know, like it wasn't even, I didn't even think about it as far as, you know, like, what do you do for me outside of just happy? I didn't think about, you know, financially. I didn't think about, you know, whether you're, you know, you do your cooking duties and all that, you know, just like none of that mattered to me. Like when I got married to my ex-wife. Yeah, like all I cared about was, okay, like I'm happy here, and as long as I'm good and you're good and we're good, you know, but we never had those real conversations, you know, like what do you want to do, you know? And right. When I got married young. I got married at 22. So, you know, I was a baby.
You want to hear how old I was with my first marriage?
Yeah.
19.
Oh, okay. So you understand. Yeah. So I was a baby in this, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
yeah, I was 19
when I did it. You know, it was just like, at the end of the day, my thought process was you get married now and figure out all the other shit later, which is terrible thinking. Yeah. But when you're that young, you don't know no better, but you think you know everything, right? But I mean, you know, obviously we got a divorce and all that kind of stuff, but it taught me a lesson. Like you have to have real conversations. You have to really get to know somebody. Like, Don't fall in love with the honeymoon phase. Don't fall in love with the, you know, the right now. Because and if you have a relationship and you feel like conversations are shaky when you try to approach them, that's obviously a red flag right there that you should probably investigate.
And I think the biggest problem with me and my ex-wife's marriage was we were babies trying to raise babies, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, because, like I said, we were very, very young, and we had children very young, because my first daughter came when I was 20. You know what I mean? So, like, I didn't know much about being an adult at the time. We were babies raising babies, and I still had a childlike mind.
Of course.
Where I wanted to go out and club. I still wanted to, you know, buy shit as opposed to diapers and shit like that. And it sort of caused a strain on a relationship, because in a way, she expected me to basically be a man, if you know, be a man, and I wasn't there yet.
So, do you feel that as a man, do you feel like we are behind the curve as far as maturity goes?
Because absolutely.
Okay, I was gonna say, do you feel like she was ready for that mom part, and you were just like, I don't know yet. I still got some boy in me.
And that's how it was. Because don't get me wrong, I enjoyed being a father. I enjoyed, you know, the title of dad. But in a way, I still wanted to kick it with my friends. I still wanted to play video games and so on and so on. So, like, I can't believe I used to get legit mad when I'm in the middle of Madden and the baby starts crying. And I'm like, oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but her whole thing was, you know, like, not only was she working a full-time job, she was taking care of home, taking care of babies, you know, and stuff like that. But mentally, I wasn't there. I didn't get there until I was, like, maybe 35 and everything started to click. I'm like, I got it. And sad part about it, that was 3 years ago. Like, that's the sad part about it. I'm not embarrassed to say that, though.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to live your truth, man. As Charlamagne would say,
so
live your truth.
as far as, you know, mentally maturing, the woman is always there first. Always. And I don't know why that is. I couldn't answer that question. I'd have to have a woman answer that question.
Yeah, obviously. But
if you ever notice, you know, like, even Hollywood relationships, like, let's just use cheating as an example, right? When somebody cheats, who is it primarily? The man, right?
I don't know, man.
Don't use Larsa Pippen as an example.
No.
She's an anomaly.
So, see, that's the thing, right? So when it comes to cheating, right, I don't feel. Now, this is very just me. This is just me. I don't feel like men cheat more than women. I never have. I think that men are sloppy. That's what and if you look at it statistically.
No, go ahead and finish your statement.
Like, because look, so statistically, middle-aged white women are the biggest cheaters in the world. Middle-aged white women. So women between 35 to 40.
Okay.
Are the biggest cheaters, man. So, hold on.
Oh, it says you left.
No, I ain't leave.
Okay.
There we go. But yeah, statistically, they're the ones. They cheat the most, right?
Okay. So can I just say what I wanted to say?
Yeah.
Because you said men are sloppy, right?
Right.
My dad told me a long time ago. I'm bringing my dad up a lot in this show. Shout out to David Laurie. That's my dude. But my dad told me a long time ago, do you know the difference between men and women cheating, or the difference between cats and dogs? I said, well, what do you mean by that? He goes, when you see dog shit, where is dog shit?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. A guy will leave his shit out there for you to see, not try to cover it up or anything. What do cats do when they poop?
They bury that shit.
They dig. They dig. They shit. They cover that shit up, pat it down, and walk away. A woman will sit there and go on a date with somebody in a different town. They won't go to the McDonald's up the street. They're going to the McDonald's up in, you know, because you say you live in Gwinnett, right?
Right.
They're not going to Gwinnett. You know what I mean? They're going to, you know, Course, Georgia, eating there where they know nobody. You know what I mean? They don't leave receipts in their purse. They ball them up at the McDonald's and toss them out right there, right? When they put numbers in their phone, Sam is now known as Samantha. Because they cover their shit.
That or they just don't put names on their numbers. I've seen so many girls' phones where there's literally just numbers and they just know the number. Like, they know which one to respond to, which one not to, you know. And I mean... And it's not even like a bashing thing, because I know somebody probably listening like, oh, that's you guys bad. No, it's ladies, like, it's real. It's just real to me. Like,
we're not bashing you at all. We're saying that, honestly speaking, a lot of guys, I hate to say this, are dumb. We're stupid. Like, I'm not going to sit there and lie. I cheated on my ex-wife, right? But the thing, you know how I got caught? I left receipts in my pocket. I left phone numbers in my pocket. You know what I mean?
You just left a sloppy trail.
I just left a trail where it's easy to figure things out. Okay. Applebee's at 2:38. Hotel at 6:29. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and it's like women don't do that. You know, I don't know. They just cover it up, man. And it's like,
I went on a date with a female, and everywhere we went, like, we went shopping for our kids and stuff like that. She just said, give me a digital receipt. I said, oh, what? Where they email you the receipt, right?
Right.
I'm like, why the hell would she do that? It turns out later on that this girl was married. And the only reason why she got caught is because she left her computer up and running and her husband seen all the receipts.
Wow.
Which is another anomaly because women normally log out everything.
Okay. Now look, now we're really segueing away. We're going away, but I don't care.
We are.
So how do you feel about going through somebody's phone?
I don't do it.
I don't do it either, but have you ever done it?
No.
Okay, so you've never done it. See, I knew that my ex-wife was cheating on me, right? I knew it.
Okay.
I didn't need the phone. I felt it. And I always tell people, I feel like when you really genuinely love somebody, there's a spiritual connection there. Regardless of, you know, what religion and all that kind of stuff, however you feel something for that person. And when they do something, like if that person that you're in love with, if you're really in love and they die right now, no phone calls, no nothing, you're going to know. You're going to know that something is off.
Something is wrong.
Yeah, there's something weird. There's some weird energy that's going to go through you. So I knew that my ex-wife was cheating on me. And I remember the day that I found out, well, not the day that I found out, but the day that I felt it, I remember I had just got off work. Yeah, you know, you had the little pieces, right? But it's like, okay. But when I got off work one day, man, I just remember my stomach, my, like, everything in me was just, like, hurting. And I was just bawling, crying. And I was like, yo, what's wrong with me, yo? Like, so I'm calling her. She's not answering the phone. And it's just like, wait a second. And I'm thinking about, like, just different things, right? And it's all coming together. So then I'm just like, yo, that's crazy. I ain't talked to her until the very next day. Next day, of course, she had all the excuses and everything, but like that was it for me. Like I knew, okay, that's what this is. And then, of course, you know, later on, I went through her phone and found all the information that I needed. But that was the last time I ever went through a phone. I've never done that since. But I needed to know because at the end of the day, there was nobody else that was going to be able to tell me. You know, like you can hear stuff from people. But at the end of the day, a lot of people aren't going to believe anything somebody says until it's from the horse. You know, like you got to hear from the camel's mouth. Like you have to.
Like I've had my phone been through before, even when I wasn't doing anything.
Well, of course, you're a dude.
You know, that's just like I've had, you know, this is the weirdest thing. I was dating another female who had a friend who worked at T-Mobile. And this friend gave them all my logs of everybody else calling. So I would get random phone calls from some of my homeboys just like, yo, somebody was calling asking about you. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, was it a bill collector or? Like, no, they were just asking, you know, questions about you, how I knew you and shit like that. And, you know, like, it wasn't until her and I broke up that she told me, oh, this is what I was doing. I'm like, you dirty bitch. Excuse my language. I don't call women bitches a lot, but that's
I appreciate you saying a lot and not at all.
No, I'm gonna be honest. I can't say I never called a woman a bitch at all. That's a lie. I'm not here on your show to lie. But you know, like as far as going through phones and everything like that, I always say if you feel like you got to go through a phone, you shouldn't even feel like being in that relationship.
True. Very true. You know, I'm back again, man. I had to come back and let you guys know, man. I appreciate y'all for listening, but I need you guys to do me a favor real quick. Before we get back to the podcast, I need you guys to go right ahead and I need y'all to subscribe. I need y'all to share this. I need y'all to go crazy, man. Send this to somebody. I don't care if you send it to one person. Send a text message. Hey, check this out, man. Make sure you guys are following me on Radical Jack Views, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, too, at Jack Just Tweet. But yeah, man, so going through phones, I just don't feel like, it's something that we should be doing, because it's not even for the fact of like insecurity. I mean, I do feel like that's an insecure thing, but I also feel like it's just people. I can go through your phone. Literally, I can pick up your phone right now and get mad at something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just... Now, you can get mad at anything. You can misconstrue any conversation that somebody's having, especially if you're going through a text. You know? You know, and there's that dude. I don't know if you've seen that post on Facebook, but there's like a guy who like, quote unquote, cracked the female code. And he's like, yo, if you go to her notes, bet you there's a list. And if you, he was just saying a bunch of random stuff that you should go through a female's phone, like go through her text messages and type in the word dick. I bet you. You get a bunch of searches and all this other stuff. And it's just like, why? You know, like for me personally, I feel like this, if whatever your significant other is talking to her friends about, I mean, yo, at the end of the day, of course they're going to talk shit. I mean, we all do that. But,
another thing is, if you're that insecure and you're going through things and you're looking at her female group chat, of course they're going to say XYZ guy is attractive or I'd smash XYZ. That's just female banter.
Exactly. Guys, I mean, that's male banter, you know? Like, yeah, we do the same exact thing.
Yeah, guys do the same thing, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, like, if you're that insecure, you shouldn't be in a relationship at all. At all.
Facts.
Like, and the bad part about it is when I was married to my ex-wife, I used to be that guy. Just like, oh my God, you find Denzel Washington sexy. I can't compete with Denzel. Like, what? In all actuality, what chance did she have with Denzel?
None. Same chance we got with Rihanna.
Exactly. But my mind, I mean, Rihanna is dating ASAP Rocky, so we got a chance.
Facts. Big no, but, facts.
I mean, let's just keep it 100. But at the end of the day, younger Daniel or Digga, whatever you want to call me, younger me, I couldn't handle that. Like mentally, if she says she went to lunch with a male coworker, my heart was broken, right? Now I can have, you know, a female I'm talking to say, oh, I went to lunch with a male coworker. Okay, how was it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not that I don't care.
Well, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that right there is all about open communication and honesty. You know, because you got to think, I'm not going to say most, but a lot of people, you know, they wouldn't even say, I'm on lunch with male or female, you know, coworker, because they would automatically assume my spouse is going to think this, or, you know, maybe I just don't want to have the argument. And, you know, and I'm one of those people, I've suffered from that. You know what I'm saying? Like with my ex, you know, I felt like anything that I did, you know, there was a case of worry, you know, because when we got together, you know what I'm saying? Like she met me as a friend. Mm-hmm. Friend me and relationship me are two totally different people. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's true. A lot you of know, females don't realize that.
So it's like, oh, yo, angle your camera. Like, you're like this.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. But that is a big thing that I feel like people got to learn to separate. If you meet somebody as a friend, you're not dating your friend anymore. You're dating the relationship version of them. And you have to realize, like, okay, you was a hoe and all this other stuff. That was friend me. When you decided to get with me, that means that you decided to let that part go and go on to a new journey with me.
Right. Like, even in my current situation now, it's just, you know, like, I do have a few moments where I do get concerned, but not jealous, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like, okay, cool, well, did y'all, what y'all talk about, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I really don't care. I just want to make sure that your head is still going this way.
Right.
Because it's easy for a woman's head to go that way. I love you, ladies. Don't take offense to that, please.
No, I mean, you know, but, we're just being honest.
And
man.
I think what it is dealing a lot with my past, because even with my current situation, we talk about, you know, why I act the way I do sometimes. And she says, honestly speaking, it's based on the girls that you dealt with, which is true. And, you know, like, they never cared about this, that, and the third. They never cared about this, so on and so on. Well, I'm here for you. I'm here for the situation. Like, just get that mentality out your head. And like I said, it's a hard process, but I'm getting used to it now. Because when you're used to dating ain't shit bitches, I use the word again, ain't shit females, your mind goes to, okay, well, this happened to me before, and this was the outcome, or this was the result. I'm not trying to have this happen again.
Right.
And same for women. I know women who been cheated on in every one of their relationships. So even when you say something like, hey, I'm gonna go hang out with the fellas, you know, we're gonna catch a drink real fast, the first thing her mind's thinking is, hey girl, he's at XYZ pub, I need you to keep an eye on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or, you know, because he's going there to meet other females, you know. And it's like, yo, that's not the case at all, you know. And you know what I really try to stress,
that's what they're used to.
I try to stress this a lot to a lot of women. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, if you feel like I'm wrong, feel free to disagree. But at the end of the day, we don't care about y'all that much. Like, we don't want to talk about y'all with our boys. I promise it's 5 minutes out of like a 2-hour conversation. Unless it's something serious.
I wouldn't even say 5 minutes. And let me tell you why. It's just like, hey, how are you on such and such? Oh, man, we good. So on and so on and so on. That's the end of the conversation.
Facts.
Because we just want to make sure everything's good at the house.
Exactly. And now, if it's a problem, then that's when you talk about it. But most of the time, in a friends group, I feel like there's like, if you got, for instance, if you have four friends in that group, only one of those friends knows every intricate detail about your relationship. The rest of the fellas, they might know, you know, tidbits here and there, but honestly, only one of them is really going to like, know everything that y'all have gone through, you know, or had those deep conversations with you. But at the end of the day, when fellas get together, the last thing we're thinking about is, oh yeah, let's talk about our relationships. No, hell no. We're talking about sports or goals, but you know, like also, anything but women.
Also, do you know why we ask, you know, so how are you and such? Because we're trying to get the time frame on how long we can have your company.
Facts.
Because if you knew my girl only likes me to go out for about an hour at the most and then head home, you're trying to figure out if things are good, maybe we can squeeze an hour and 30 minutes out of them.
Yep.
Or if things are on the rocks, all right, cool. After 40 minutes, we're going to send him home because we know he got a 20-minute drive back. And that's the reason why I do it. You know, like, things good with you and your old lady? Yeah, things are cool. Cool. I know that I got you for about an hour and a half.
Facts. Facts.
I know that we can actually order appetizers with our shit.
That your phone's not going to be going off every 10 minutes with a text message. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, every 5 minutes. How are things going? When are you coming home? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, bro. I just wish, you know, I wish there was a code. You know, like, I wish there was, like, these cheat codes that we could put in. Like, you know, or like, you know how you're on a game and you get, like, unlimited XP for a weekend. It's like, if you could just put that in, like kicking it with the fellas, 2 hours extended, no conversation, just, you know, like she's just right. Muted. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
I just,
and I think I'm blessed to be in a situation where I can just say, hey, look, I'm, you know, like even when I went to Vegas this year, you know what I mean? Or I can just say, hey, we're going to Topgolf. And it was just, all right, have fun. And I didn't hear from her until like maybe 4 hours later. and she'll say something like, are things okay? Yeah, things are great. You know what I mean? Now, the relationship I was in before when I went to Vegas a couple of years ago was, hey, look, we're going to Topgolf. About 5 minutes. Did y'all make it yet? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? Send me a picture. Like, that shit was frustrating.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's toxic.
And I'm not saying all women are like
that. No, of course not. Of course not. But that right there is toxic characteristics. Like, you know, we don't need to be in a relationship if you're doing all that. Why'd you let me go to Vegas if you were just going to bother me every 2 or 3 minutes? You know, like, come on.
Actually, the only reason why I went to Vegas is because the tickets and shit were paid for. Because, believe it or not, her and I were fighting that. Her and I were fighting, like, the day before I went to Vegas. Like, bad fighting. And she said, well, would you go to Vegas? You know, I felt like you didn't care about the relationship. I said, it's not that I didn't care about the relationship, but you got to understand, this plane ticket alone was $400.
Like, yeah, facts. And it ain't like you can get your money back.
I didn't have $400 just to blow out the window and try to work on things with us. Them problems are going to be there right when I get home. So,
yep. That's true.
But then again, that goes into, like, this new mentality that I'm in. But go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you know, we started this off with what do you look for in women? And
I know.
We kind of transitioned into
down the rabbit hole with this one.
Yeah, you know, it was just a big old wormhole, which is hilarious. But, I mean, those are real topics, though. I mean, you know, I mean, it's a lot, man, for me. I don't like insecure people in general, but if I'm in a relationship.
I was about to say, I was about to say insecure women. I was about to say, what if I told you men are more insecure than women?
I would say that you're 100% correct. And I would say that we see that all the time. Any dude, to me, if we can't go, like, okay, so case in point, here's two examples, right? We go to the mall, we're walking, blah, 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 and a dude is checking out my girl. I'm not mad. I appreciate it, for one, because it lets me know that I do have something that somebody else wants. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to walk down the street and ain't nobody looking at you. It's like, oh, well.
You know what that's the equivalent of? You playing a pickup basketball game and they say, let him shoot.
You know what I mean? Hey, don't worry about him. Don't let him. Hey, let him have. Hey, yeah. Brick.
That's the equivalent of that. But, and you know, that's another thing that I'm dealing with in this relationship because, you know, like, I've actually had people come to me and go, like, yo, your girl. You know, like that, it's a weird feeling, but at first you're just like, the fuck you say? Then you just realize, look, that's just like, if you were to leave Walmart on Black Friday with a PS5, not everybody got one. So there are going to be people staring in your bag like, yo.
Hard.
You know what I mean?
You might be a little skeptical, you know, like you might have to slide somebody, but it's like, I know why you're looking. You want it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, another thing that I think is insecure for men. This is a personal thing, though. I mean, I know some dudes, you know, whatever. But if we go to the club, and I say this is more for people 20 to 30, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like after 30, you kind of start fading away from the club scene. But, you know, I mean,
hey. No, unless, I start fading away from the club scene at 25.
Hey, you know, but I'm just saying, for people that are in the club, and I mean, like, young clubs, because that's when we twerk and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, right? But I feel like when we go to the club, you're my girl. I don't have to dance with you all night. You can go dance with whoever you want. I'm going to dance with whoever I want, because at the end of the night, like, we going home. We here to have fun. I don't feel like dancing is some thing that I should be, oh, nah, only she danced with me because she's gyrating her ass. Like, it is what it is. I just feel like that's an insecure trait, and I see dudes do that a lot. Well, I mean, I don't go to the bar. I mean, the club no more. But back in the day, you know, I would see dudes, like, really just hugged up on their chick whole night. And it's like, you could have did that at home. So, what, for me.
What did R. Kelly say on that one song?
I don't know, man. He's canceled, apparently.
If you got him. Well, I know he's canceled, but he's like. you know, but at the beginning, he said something that I've always lived my life by. I'm like, you know what? This guy is right. I don't listen to R. Kelly a lot, but.
Hey, you know what, man? It's funny you say that, right? Because I used to listen to R. Kelly all the time, and it's like, I never canceled him, right? So it's like, I mean, I still have a whole R. Kelly playlist, but I noticed that I don't listen to him as much as I used to. And I don't know if that's because subconsciously, like, I conformed to everybody else or what, but.
A lot of guys out there blaming other cats for taking their woman. I'm gonna put it to you like this. I tell niggas, hey, don't bring your woman to the club. Don't bring your main squeeze to the club. You know what I'm saying? Unless your game is tight. Because if your game ain't tight and a nigga walk in and his game is tight, shit, you fuck around, lose your woman.
That's
not told a lie. By R. Kelly.
That's not a lie. Told by- But you know what? It's funny because that's not even in the club. That's in life. A lot of these dudes don't realize.
In general. Yeah, in general.
And I mean, you know, maybe that's what this episode should be called. Just. Male, fractured males. Because
I'm on a show called Infractured Males. I love it.
Because it's like, bro, like at the end of the day, you got to know, like, your woman has certain standards and needs, right? And I mean, I get it. Yeah, I know. Us men, we have our needs too, blah, blah, blah. But women really need certain things. They need their emotions met and they need, you know, they had these crazy expectations that we all hate. But at the end of the day, like, you gotta at least meet her 60% of the way.
I wouldn't even say 60% of the way, man. Like, when you're meeting a woman, it's 80-20. And the reason why I say 80-20 is because you gotta be the ear, the listener, the provider, the protector, so on and so on. You have all these criteria that, you know, you got to do, and all you want her to do is just be there and listen.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I mean?
Because no man like, is going into a relationship.
I've never heard one man say, I need my woman to be my provider. Or
exactly.
I need my woman to be my protector.
Exactly.
It's just we have a bunch of shit on our shoulders to even worry about insecurity in anything, excuse me.
Because, I mean, if we're being honest, most men don't even go into a relationship caring about how much she's making. Most men don't think on that level because we're already in our mindset. It's like, well, I'm going to have to pay for this, this, and this. And it's like, that's how you already think. So you don't even.
That's how we're pre-programmed.
Yeah. So you're not even thinking like, all right, yeah, I need to make sure, you know, this, this, and like, we don't care.
We don't.
Because at the end of the day, most men, I'll say that I feel like real men are the ones that, you know, you look for stuff to fall back on you. You expect to have the support, you know, like you're supposed to be that bottom level. You're the foundation of the house.
Like me, I'm more so, I want me and my partner to be stocked in Malone. I want to be able to dish the rock knowing that you got it, but I got it if need be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the moment I pass you the ball, you got to be prepared to shoot.
I just need her to be Steve Kerr. You know, she don't have to be Pippen. She can be Steve Kerr. You know what I'm saying? We don't need you all the time. But when I do throw you that. Yeah, but I need you to hit that three. Like, that's all I need. That's just one shot. You know?
We're down. We're down by two. We need you to bring us back by one, and I get the rest.
I'll do the rest. Just hit that one shot.
Just get us back by one. Get us back by one. We're good.
Facts, man.
But word. But yo, man, I got to get ready to bounce out in a minute, dog.
Oh, no, that's no problem. I was just about to say, yo, we've had a pretty good conversation, man. It, you know, it shifted, but, you know, I think the purpose was made. We had a good show.
The purpose of the show was touched on.
You know. So that's all that really matters at the end of the day. But I do appreciate you being here. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and shout out your social medias, your links, whatever you need, man. All get right. It off.
Yeah, man. On IG, it is Digger2K6. On Facebook, you can either reach me by my government name, which is Daniel Laurie. That's Laurie. Or you can reach me on Digger Jones. Both pages are me. So what else? Oh, my podcast is anywhere you listen to the podcast. Just type in Digga Jones and Two Gun Tony. It pops up right there. So it's Digga Jones and Two Guns Tony's news and views. And I want to shout out Spotify for pointing out that I had an increase in listeners. And like I said, it's all based on our listeners, your listeners, everybody. When I'm on your show, that boosts my numbers up. When you're on my show, that boosts your numbers up. And that's all that matters at the end of the day is iron sharpening iron.
Community efforts. You know what I'm saying? Boom. But you already know where y'all can reach me at, man. Well, actually, you know what? Now I'm streaming on Twitch. That's a new thing, man. I'm on Twitch at RadicalJack_20. You know,
and you know what's funny? I started a Twitch because my homeboy got a Twitch, and I support him, so I'll support yours too.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. But yeah, man, RadicalJack_20 at Twitch. On Twitter at JackThisTweet. On Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all that good stuff. You already know it's Radical Jack's Views.
Yo, wait. Wait, can I get one sidebar before the show ends?
Yeah.
That video you had on Twitter the other day made me laugh and angry at the same time.
Which one?
The one where that girl was like, you know, take off the shit I bought you. I was like, oh,
bro.
My God.
Bro.
The only thing that pissed me off in the video was I understood her point. You know, I bought you all this. You're starting on a date with another female. Give me my stuff back. But the moment she put her hands on him,
bruh.
All bets were off.
Yo, and that's what I'm saying, man. Like, I do not condone domestic violence in any type of way, right?
And that's what I said.
Like, but this lady was whooping this man with a belt. I'm sorry.
A belt.
I'm sorry, but you will be slid. Like, you're going to be dropped for beating me with a belt. Kid. And then on top of that, it was in the middle of the street.
In you New know, York. Like,
and you know, and you heard the people in the background. They told her, hey, if he hits you right now, we ain't helping.
Yeah,
straight up.
At the end of the day, I give the brother kudos for keeping his composure. But that's what I was talking about earlier with the whole dog and cat thing.
Man,
but ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Why am I ending this like I end my podcast?
I'm Digga Jones.
I am so used to doing that shit.
I'm Digga Jones. Two Gun couldn't join us today, but
this ain't my show today. Like, what the fuck is going on?
He said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Hey, guys, I appreciate y'all for listening, though. You already know this podcast is all about Jack's Radical Views, and you, my listeners, are welcome. I don't have the answers. Maybe you do. Let's discuss it. Y'all be safe.